You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate, Rob Brown, the Group, and Lonzo, and you. If you would like to be a part of the radio broadcast, well, we would like you to be a part of the radio broadcast. How do I pull that off, Rob? Worry not, dear friends. That's what I'm here to tell you. Here's the phone number you need to know. Memorize it. Better yet, grab that cell phone that you carry around every day with you and pop this number in. 844-326-3663, 844-FANFONE. And I want you to pop that number into your phone because it can accomplish not one, but two different methods of communication between you and us. The first one is the Hub City Spartanburger text line. Pop that number into your phone, push the button that says send a text, and do that. It's for free. And we will read them on the radio show. 844-326-3663, 844-FANFONE. You shoot a text to the Hub City Spartanburger text line by using that number, and I will read it on the air. You can also call that number, 844-326-3663. And when you do, not only do you get to make small talk, and by golly gee willikers, there's nothing more Lonzo loves than a little bit of good small talk. You get to make small talk with the greatest radio personality in the history of great radio personalities, the great one Lonzo. That's why I call him that. And then Lonzo's going to push a little button over on that side of the board that's going to put you live on the airwaves across not just the beautiful upstate of South Carolina, not just the GVL, yeah, not just Spartanburg, you beautiful burgers, you. I'll actually be over here in your neck of the woods here in a couple of days. On top of all of that, you're going to go live across the world because thefanupstate.com streams the show live to you anywhere that you are with any sort of data connection and a working speaker. We got you covered. 844-326-3663. If you're more of a social media guy or gal, we got you covered there too. You can go to The Fan Upstate on Facebook. You can go to The Fan Upstate on YouTube. You can go to The Fan Upstate on Twitter. And if you search and subscribe to The Fan Upstate, we stream the show live. You can watch it, go behind the scenes, interact with the great one, with myself, with everyone in the Armada. You can do the same for The Rob Brown Show. Facebook, Twitch, YouTube. Search, subscribe, hang out with us. If you're in the office and you're one of those fancy schmancy exec types and you got a TV, especially one of them, they're smart TVs. They got the internet on them and stuff. Search and subscribe to The Rob Brown Show on Facebook. Pop it up on the TV. We will entertain you for your entire morning because we're just here to make your lives better. And you're welcome. You're very welcome. The internet, technology. Thank you, Al Gore. Thank you for helping us help the people. Search and subscribe to The Rob Brown Show. Check them out. Check them out. Check them out.
Yo, check them out.
Check us out every morning as we stream the show live. And of course, if you are, again, social media inclined, at The Rob Brown Show on Twitter, on Instagram, on TikTok, wherever you want to find me, at The Rob Brown Show, posting videos every day, clips from the show, brief asides, and more. Make sure you hit us up on the social media, at The Rob Brown Show. Now, with all that being said, with all that being talked about, with all that being discussed, it's just after 7 o'clock in the morning. You have just a wee bit over 55 minutes until you've got to get up, dressed, showered, do them the other way around. Then get in the car, drive to work, sit in the office, respond to those emails that you don't want to respond to. And once that's out of the way, after let's say like 7-8 minutes of actual work, just enough so that the boss looks and goes, oh, he emailed me already. Hard at work. Fake it until you make it to your first break. When you walk down the hallway, head to that break room, stand up against the water cooler and wait for whichever one of the coworkers that you like to show up and to talk some sports. And hey, if you're going to talk sports, you got to know what's going on, don't you? Of course you do. And if you got to know what's going on, worry not, because every morning at this time, we do this. Tis indeed the water cooler sheet to the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports with the coworkers that you actually enjoy spending your time with. Is there anything worse than having a coworker you're forced to be around that you don't like? Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. It's the worst.
Yeah, someone comes to mind. I don't know. Why?
Yeah, just question off the top of the noggin.
Thank goodness that trades happened.
Item number one. We have talked about it at length. We continue to do so now. The coaches poll for the preseason top 25 has been released. Dropped yesterday afternoon, and atop the coaches poll entering the season, it is the first time in the history of the college coaches poll that the Texas Longhorns sit at number one. 28 first place votes from the coaches coming off of a 13-3 season. The Longhorns behind Arch Manning at QB1, Steve Sarkisian at HC are the number one team in America for now. We're 23 days away. A lot of time between here and the national championship game for Texas to blow it. Will they this year? Will they get it done? We'll find out. But they start from the poll with 28 first place votes. 20 first place votes went to the number two team, just about 40 points out are the Buckeyes of Ohio State. Ryan Day finally breaks the narrative. Ryan Day gets the old Buckeye off his back by winning last year's national championship game. They will start from the inside lane at number two. 21st place votes to the Buckeyes. Three teams atop the poll. Two of them belong to the Big Ten, as checking in third with 14 first place votes out of the Big Ten are the Penn State Nittany Lions. James Franklin's turn to try to end the narrative comes this year. I've already said a couple of times, There's a different conversation happening around the Nittany Lions this AM. There's a different conversation. The conversation is not about big game James this year. And I think that is less because anybody genuinely and truly feels like James Franklin has figured it out, like James Franklin has changed the narrative. I think it is, and I don't know that anybody has benefited from a 12-team playoff quite as much as James Franklin. Because I think we treat getting into the 12-team playoff with the same reverence that we treated getting into the 4-team playoff in the few years that we had that format. Big Game James got in last year. Big Game James not just got in last year, but got in and won a game last year. And I think that kind of pushed back the narrative about James Franklin maybe being on the hot seat to some degree. Well, hey, yeah. We finished second in the Big Ten. We lost in the Big Ten championship game, but it was against the consensus number one team, the Oregon Ducks. And then we went into the college football playoffs and we were competitive. We got a win in the college football playoffs. But I do think that narrative is still back in the old medulla oblongata for a lot of college football fans. However, because they got in, and because the belief is, as we have spoken about, a lot of question marks at QB around college football, Drew Aller is expected to be one of the few proven commodities at the position. I have already mentioned he played like crap in a couple of Penn State losses last year. So the question mark is, did he learn from those? Did he get the XP to level up during the offseason and be trustworthy in those big games this year? We shall find out. But the conversation about the Nittany Lions is different this year, in my opinion, over the past couple of weeks of covering media days and whatnot. The conversation is different this year. And I think that's to some degree palpable. Is it enough to ease the pressure, to take the tension off of big game, James, to allow the Nittany Lions to get it done? IDK, we'll find out. Georgia got 3 first place votes. They check in at number 4, 1 spot ahead of Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish. Get no first place votes. However, they do leapfrog team number 6, the Clemson Tigers. They got a pair of first place votes. This is why I've said the expectations are once again on Dabo and the gang. I think it's earned. I think it's justified. I think this football team has the opportunity to be as much a national championship contender as anybody else. The positions of relative weakness the last couple of years, I think, have been shored up via experience, via growing up, via finding some dudes. They got 2 first place votes. I'm not the only one who feels that way. The Oregon Ducks check in at number 7, rounding out the top 10, number 8, Alabama, number 9, LSU, and number 10, Clemson's most likely, most difficult opponent in the ACC, the University of Miami. South Carolina checked in at number 13. Some other notables, the Sun Devils make their return to the top 25 at number 11. Michigan at number 14, Ole Miss at 15. SMU out of the AC at 16, at the ACC at 16. Florida at 17, ahead of Tennessee at 18. Kurt Cignetti and his Indiana Hoosiers, I win, Google me, at number 19. K-State 20, the cult of Texas A&M at number 21. Iowa State 22, BYU, Texas Tech, and the Ashton Janty list, Boise State Broncos, round out your top 25. Let us get to item number 2. A handful of baseball stories that I'm going to smush together for item number 2. The Cubs were disappointingly quiet at the trade deadline. A lot of expectations that they would go get a bat. A lot of expectations that they would be in the market for a true, genuine frontline starter that is a frontline star. They did not. One of the few names they picked up was Michael Soroka. The former of the Atlanta Braves used to be Mike Soroka. But after he left Atlanta, the career went off a cliff. He changed his name. I assume it's like baseball's version of the witness protection program.
So when you start calling yourself Robert, then we need to be worried?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. All right. There is one person in my life who refers to me as Robert, and that's my mother. She's the only one. Everybody else refers to me as both names. I am Rob Brown to everybody else.
Not even when your wife gets mad at you?
Nope.
Okay.
She doesn't even go with the full name. Even when she's mad. When she's mad, she'll call me and hey you, etc., but not the full name. Not the full name. Michael Soroka left his first game with his new team with right shoulder discomfort, will require a stint on the IL. The Cubs announced that after a 3-2 loss to the Reds yesterday. Turned 28 on Monday, said that after exiting the game, he, quote, felt something grab, end quote, in his shoulder after a pitch in the second inning. Did not come out for the third. Soroka said after he felt that, it didn't go away, end quote. Soroka acquired last week from the Nationals for a pair of prospects, and though he's experienced a dip in velocity over the last month, claimed he wasn't in any pain as he took the mound for the first time as a Cub. That didn't last long. That's a step back for a team that is expected to compete in the NL Central, but the Brewers are hot. Brewers, by the way, beat the Braves last night. We'll talk about that later on in the show. Did not make that score a water cooler cheat sheet item, because at this point, I am only putting the Braves on the cheat sheet if another excellent piece of crappy history strikes. Didn't last night. Aaron Judge to be activated by the New York Yankees tomorrow when the captain is eligible to come off the 10-day IL, was sidelined because of a flexor strain in his right elbow. He's been sitting out for about a week now. It's not gone great for the Yankees without El Capitan. They took their fourth consecutive loss, an 8-5 L to the Rangers in 10 last night. Judge is available for the middle game of a three-game series today. Their manager, Aaron Boone, was asked after the game last night for a Judge update, and his answer was super eloquent. He said, and I quote, "Judge tomorrow," and then got up and left. Pretty spectacular. Aaron Judge back in the lineup today. Over to the Guardians. This is more of a feel-good story. Nick Enright took to the bump last night. Nick Enright got his first save last night as the Guardians took a 7-6 win over the New York Mets. Why is this story impressive? A guy getting his first save on the road against the New York Mets competing for an NL East title? The answer is because back in 2022, Nick Enright was diagnosed with Hodgkin lymphoma and is still receiving treatment for cancer. While receiving treatment for cancer, he's out there trying to play, and all he did after getting drafted back in 2019, after receiving the diagnosis in 2022, after going through immunotherapy and other courses of therapy all through the year, he got called up to the Guardians. He went to the bump last night, and he got it done. Made his major league debut on May 25th. 19 appearances for the Guardians. Has a 2.01 ERA. And as Emmanuel Clase, one of the best closers in baseball, is on paid leave due to a gambling investigation. He got put on the roster, asked to do something special, and he did something special. Congratulations to Nick Enright. And finally, very quickly, the Dodgers activated third baseman Max Muncy off the injured list yesterday, placed utility man Tommy Edman on IL because of an ankle injury. They get Max Muncy back, and this is where things get interesting in the National League, because the take has been, y'all, the Dodgers are still really good. Doesn't look like it, because they have had more injuries in 1 year than most franchises have in a friggin' decade. But the guys are starting to show back up, and I'm going to call the spade the spade. In about a month, the NL West is going to be the Padres trying to chase down the Dodgers, and the Dodgers are going to pull away because they're healthy. Finally, let's get to item number three. This isn't really a news story so much as it is a news clip that I found and I'm playing because I figured something out yesterday. You know, Lonzo has been busting up on my very special baby boy, Bryce Young, for a year and a half now or so. He's had the jokes. I've been driving the BY Defender bus the whole time. Well, J.C. Horn, defensive back for the Carolina Panthers, J.C. Horn was talking to Hey Bay K Adams yesterday on the NFL Network, and Hey Bay K,
is that her name?
No, her name is Kay Adams.
Okay,
all but right. To those of us in the know,
it's not very professional.
That's Bay Adams.
She's a professional broadcaster. She referred to her by her.
I think she's
name.
An incredible broadcaster.
Okay, all right.
Which is why when she sat down with J.C. Horn, and she got J.C. Horn to reveal the reason that Lonzo has been busting up on him. So do I. I actually really like that. Jokes aside, I actually really like that.
All right, so I don't get why this would do anything for me other than, no, I don't like Steph Curry, and Golden State
when
would lose every single game that they ever play ever in the history of mankind. Going forward, I want Bryce Young to succeed. I've said this many times. Is he short? Yes. There's no fixing that. Can he get better as a football player? Man, I hope so. Because the Panthers are my favorite NFC team, and I want to see them do well. I never want to see Golden State do well.
There's no fixing that. jokes aside, we did get a little bit of news as we get set, and the reason I'm bringing this up is because, well, Carolina Panthers play their first preseason game on Friday. Tyler Huntley is the new Cleveland Browns quarterback. They now have 5 on the roster, mainly because the only healthy guy out of the 4 is Joe Flacco at this point. They just needed another body for the preseason. Tyler Huntley gets picked up by the Cleveland Browns, meaning that if he does get some PT in the game on Friday, Panthers are going to have an opportunity to really work on rushing the QB in preseason game number one with Tyler Huntley back there for the Cleveland Browns. Shador hurt. Kenny Pickett hurt. Dylan Gabriel hurt.
I just saw Shador practice yesterday. So
he is back at practice, but right now, from what I'm seeing out of Cleveland, they do not know if he is going to go in preseason game number one. Credit to him, though, by the way. He said 2 days ago, he told Dad, do not show up at camp. Told him. He's like, I haven't earned anything yet, and I don't need you showing up being the distraction and all that. Deion said it. He said it to the media. Assuming this isn't like a make him look better stunt, a lot of props to Shador Sanders for being like, look, I'm a backup quarterback. I got no reason for that.
I'm not sure Deion could travel right now either. So, I mean, with his present condition.
Well, he I don't know if it was before or after the issue, but he was. Okay. He did go down and visit Shiloh at Tampa. So, he's making the rounds. All right, let's take a break. When we come back here in just a minute, let's talk some NFL, shall we? I made a statement yesterday. I'm going to make it again today. I am done saying they could. I am now going to say they should. Carolina should win the NFC South. I've thought about this a lot. I'd like to break down why when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great Milonzo, and you rolling through the four most electrifying hours of sports, talk, entertainment you're going to find anywhere. I am no longer saying it is a possibility. I am no longer saying, well, if everything goes right, then blank. And I understand that for what I am about to say to be true, there are going to have to be some elevated expectations on individual players, not just on the team at large. And I do acknowledge that what I am about to say is an elevated expectation on the team at large. But
last I checked, a down has not been played yet, and you've already changed your mind.
That is correct.
So I can't wait to hear what made you change your mind. Was it a practice report? I mean, what was it?
Here is where I'm at. No longer do I believe that the Carolina Panthers should compete for the NFC South. I have throttled up. I now believe the Carolina Panthers should win the NFC South this year. It is no longer a matter of, well, you know, if, then Carolina can compete. It is now, I believe that they will compete. And frankly, I think this team should have the mentality of, we will win this division. The good news for me is that based on what I'm hearing out of practices in New Orleans, Louisiana, and I'm not going to make this about my football team, but from what I understand, Spencer Rattler is clearly winning the battle for QB1 in New Orleans. Good, great, awesome. Selfishly, because the wife spent money on a Spencer Rattler Saints jersey over the offseason, and I'd really like for her to wear it, because here's what I'm going to tell you. Week one rolls around. If Tyler Shook's the starter, I'm not telling her. I'm just going to let her be disappointed when the season opens up and say, welcome to like the overwhelming majority of my life as a Saints fan. It's this feeling just all the time with like 1 year of exception. But as much as I am excited about that, and as much as I hope that Rat Daddy gets the chance to go out there and prove that he is indeed Rat Daddy.
See, I'm rooting for Spencer Rattler as a South Carolina fan, but you're making me change my mind about that, because the more he plays, the more we're going to hear that. And I just, I wonder what he would think about that.
Much like Josh Allen, the Rat Daddy moniker can be applied or removed on a week-by-week basis, without a doubt. So, the point here is, I'm pulling for him. I hope everything goes amazing, super-duper awesome. My team is not going to be competing for this division in any way, shape, or form. So, take them out of the mix. It comes down to Atlanta, Carolina, and Tampa Bay. With the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are the betting odds-on favorite, they are the, for what it's worth, if you buy into this, at-large media pick to win the NFC South, from what I have read, heard, understood. I'm looking at a couple of things. The good news for Tampa Bay is reports are that Emeka Egbuka, the wide receiver who comes out of Ohio State, is a dog. The bad news is the reason he may have to be a dog is because while I genuinely believe that Evans and Godwin have been the standard for wide receiver duos in the NFL and probably never really gotten the credit that they deserve for being the 1-2 punch that they have been for as long as they have been it, at the same time, those two dudes are now no longer getting up there in age. They are now up there in age. They've been doing this a long time. And the injury concerns have started to stack up. Now, you also know that Lonzo and I both love some Baker Mayfield at QB1. And Bake Show, over the past couple of years, has without a doubt earned that fat contract the Buccaneers gave him. But I would also point out that this is the third year in a row that Baker Mayfield enters the season with a new offensive coordinator. And for a lot of teams, that wouldn't be a big deal. It's not a big deal when the Kansas City Chiefs switch offensive coordinators, because the offensive coordinator under Andy Reid is more of like a quality control coach than they are a coordinator. Andy Reid's pulling the strings. Todd Bowles at Tampa is not pulling the strings. The OC is. And so even though I am sure that Tampa's new offensive coordinator is going to come in and try to maintain a lot of what the Buccaneers have done over the last couple of years, the reality is some things are going to change. Some things about the system are going to change. And while on one hand, you can't say, well, they got to take a step back of getting a good offensive coordinator after 3 in a row, right? You lose Canales, he goes to Tampa Bay. You lose Liam Cohen, he goes to Jacksonville, and Jacksonville is this year a very trendy pick to win the AFC South. Very trendy pick to win that division. I actually am picking Jacksonville to win their division this year. What's the likelihood Tampa Bay is going to hit on 3 consecutive hot offensive coordinators? Obviously, they've got the formula to do it. I don't know. But I think it's step back time for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They did not make a ton of upgrades. The only one they really did is adding a Buka to the wide receiver room. Baker's still Baker, still a very good player. But I think everywhere else, offensive line, running back, like they've taken steps back. So for a team that has been winning this division by a game or two the last couple of years, to take a step back, they're in the mix. The Atlanta Falcons. I am a Michael Penix Jr. believer. I think this kid can be a good NFL quarterback. I think he's got all of the throws, all of the weapons. If he can stay healthy, I genuinely believe that Michael Penix Jr. can be a good quarterback. But, and I do my best not to allow past seasons, history, and most importantly, narratives to control my preseason projections and prognostications, but much like Penn State, I put Atlanta into that group of teams of, I will believe that they can do it when they do it and not a second before. I do not believe with the only experience Atlanta's had the last couple of years is blowing it down the stretch. This team was in the divisional hunt until the last week of the season last year. What happened in the last week of the season last year? They lost to the Carolina Panthers. Now, granted, by the time that game went final, they kind of already knew they were bumped, but they lost that game that had they won and the ball bounced the other way in the New Orleans Tampa game, they could have won that division still. I don't trust them. I am at this point, though there is a huge difference between where those of us that are optimistic about Carolina and those who are a little bit more pragmatic about Carolina, there's a gap between us. I have heard very few to no commentators in radio, on television, in the newspaper, very few to no commentators saying Carolina's going to be as bad this year as they have been the last couple of years.
I'm cautiously optimistic. I think they definitely are going to be improved.
I mean, it's hard to get worse. We know that. But I did too. Tet McMillan looks like an absolute beast. Again, haven't seen him in full speed. We will on Friday. But he looks like a beast. XL, from what I've heard, the hands look better. Again, haven't done it against the live defense in full yet, outside of Fan Day, which, you know, you're playing your own guys. They're not going to give you what they got tops, I don't think. Adam Thielen back at the slot. You saw what he did at the one. Like, I love this team. I have switched my mindset after further evaluation of Tampa Bay, after further evaluation of Atlanta, to the belief that the Carolina Panthers will not just compete for the NFC South. I am now on the record, not just like, let me put a scratch bet down because it's got 25-1 odds. I am now a believer that the Panthers should win their division this year. We'll talk more about that as we get closer. Preseason game number one against the Browns is on Friday. They do have a joint practice tomorrow with Cleveland. We'll get some reports in over-under fights, 1.5. Talk about that more coming up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, I have come to the determination that next week we will do my annual asking of the fans, what are the realistic ceiling and floor expectations for your college football team? We did that with the NFL squads last week as preseason got underway with the Hall of Fame game last week with Detroit and LA. We'll do that with our college football teams next week as next Thursday we will be 2 weeks away from the start of the college football season. So I think that's a fair point to get into our annual question of the season, which is what are your realistic expectations for your college football team ceiling and floor? But I'm going to ask that genuinely about two guys, individuals, now. And the two guys that I want to ask that about as individuals are the two guys that we talked about in the last hour of the show. South Carolina quarterback Lenora Sellers, Clemson quarterback Cade Klubnik. Now, the conversation for me in college football is parity this year. The teams that I honestly believe could win a national championship, Texas, Ohio State, Penn State, Georgia, Notre Dame, Clemson, Oregon, Alabama, LSU, Miami. Those are the teams that I'm like, those are legitimate national championship contenders. Dark horse contenders to me. South Carolina, SMU, Florida, Texas A&M. I think that's my dark horse contenders. There may be a few more. I'm doing this off the old top of the noggin. But like those are my legit top tier contenders, and then secondary if they are better than advertised. Kansas State, I'd probably put in that mix too because Avery Johnson could be a Heisman finalist. And the one thing that I think you will notice about all of those teams, with a couple of exceptions, South Carolina and Clemson being two of the exceptions. The thing I think you would notice is that the conversation is unknown commodities at quarterback versus known commodities at quarterback. And while I have said a few times this morning and in the run-up to the college football season, 23 days away, that Lenoris Sellers in the Southeastern Conference is one of the few proven commodities at quarterback, whereas I look at Texas, I don't know about Arch Manning. A lot of people super in. I don't know. Gunnar Stockton at Georgia, a lot of people in. I have question marks. I think they're fair. I think a lot more people have question marks about Gunnar Stockton than Arch Manning. Notre Dame, I pointed out earlier this morning, in the conversations I've had about college football on various radio shows and podcasts around the country over the past few weeks, one of the questions that I've asked a lot of hosts is, quick top of your head, who is Notre Dame's starting quarterback this year? And where'd he come from? And I was going to say you might be shocked at the number of people who don't know, but the more I think about it, the more I think you might not be shocked at the number of people who do not know the name of CJ Carr. And I think that is very fair. The point here is, of the teams at the top of the pecking order, Texas, Ohio State, I would include Drew Aller at Penn State, Gunnar Stockton at Georgia, CJ Carr at Notre Dame, Dante Moore at Oregon, who I have been told by a lot of folks, solid dark horse selection as a potential Heisman Trophy winner, Dante Moore at Oregon. And in a Dan Lanning offense, I got no problem accepting that as a possibility. Ty Simpson at Alabama. I think one of the unknowns, one of the more lesser unknowns is Garrett Nussmeier at LSU. We've seen the talent of Garrett Nussmeier. Will he put it together with the pressure that is on LSU this year? Still a question mark. Carson Beck at Miami, probably in the proven commodity group. There's a lot of questions about why he left Georgia. Was it genuinely because the girlfriend went to Miami and he wanted to follow her? Was it genuinely about the fact that they offered him $4 million to come play football? Or was it genuinely that Kirby Smart, as is a rumor, told Carson Beck, like, dude, you may want to find somewhere else to play? Because if Gunnar Stockton, who we have a lot of belief in, if Gunnar Stockton starts to catch you, we will make the shift and sit you if we need to. So if you want to go ahead and find somewhere you're the genuine, unquestioned QB1, have at. I don't know what the answer to that is. But I think it's fair to say Gunnar Stockton at Miami, one of the more proven commodities, still have question marks. In the group of teams that most people feel there is a proven commodity at QB, Lenoris Sellers at South Carolina, Cade Klubnik at Clemson are two of them. But I would ask you, the fans, as I will do about the programs next week, I will ask you for your quarterback this week. What are the genuine expectations, knowing the kryptonite of your offenses, knowing where your quarterbacks may be challenged and hamstrung? We know that both of these quarterbacks, at least on a surface level, should have better wide receiver units than they had last year. We have talked about Clemson's behind Antonio Williams, another year of growth. Bryant Wesco Jr. had some big moments last year. The guys been there and they've done that. Those guys have been there and done that now. So I think a lot of Clemson fans have the expectation, and it is fair, in my opinion, to have the expectation, that Cade has more help at the wideout spot this year than he's ever had before. But what is the run game? What is the run game going to look like? What is the run game capable of? And I think that same question is more than fair to ask about Lenora Sellers' run game at South Carolina. You got Faison approved. The waiver came through. He gets his seventh year. But, yes, 18-plus 100 yards at Utah State. Yes, 14 touchdowns, 18 touchdowns, whatever it was at Utah State. He put up numbers for Utah State last year. I think it is fair to ask the question then, this year, can he put up the same, similar, better numbers at South Carolina when the talent he will be running against is unquestionably, undeniably, empirically better than it was, both in front of him as an offensive line, but in front of them on defensive lines across him in the SEC, especially in the back half of that schedule? You know the kryptonite for Clemson. Cade Klubnik has an advantage in that there is more returning experience across the offensive line in front of him. Lenora Sellers has both of his tackles back from last year with a year of growth, development, maturity, experience, whatever. He's got both of his offensive tackles out there. And Lenora Sellers is a dude who I think in the Mike Shula system, you need to be able to help him get the edge. If Lenora Sellers gets the edge, he becomes dangerous. He can run up the middle. We saw it. He had that long touchdown run against, who was it, LSU in the first half? He can get between the tackles. At the same time, there's film on that. Teams know that now. You may have seen Lenora Sellers catch some teams by surprise last year. That is not going to be the case this year. No one is going to be caught by surprise by a dude who enters the year as a Heisman Trophy odds-on favorite. So with the kryptonite to the offense, the interior offensive line, and a talented but questioned running back moving over from Utah State for Clemson, better experience across the offensive line, and an upgraded wide receiver unit to throw the ball to for Cade Klubnik, at the same time, what's the run game going to look like there with a converted running back, right? Like Faison, at least you can point at and go, yeah, it may not have been against SEC caliber talent across the defensive line, across SEC front sevens. But he has experience, and he has experience at this level. Maybe not as talented again as the Southeastern Conference, but he does have experience playing the RB1 spot in college football. Not as true at Clemson. So if that is the case, knowing the weakness, and more importantly, knowing where you have to rely. The other thing that Cade Klubnik has going for him that Lenora Sellers does not, Clemson is coming into the year with what is expected to be, by a lot of folks, what is expected to be one of the best defenses in college football this year. Certainly one of the best front sevens in college football this year. Cade Klubnik is aware that he likely, although he can, will not have to go run an offense that generates 35-plus points per game to end with a winning record. One of my, I don't think, hot takes, although I've been told that it is about South Carolina this year, is this offense might genuinely need to score 42 points a game in order to win games, because there is such a question mark across the defense. I'm not saying none of these dudes are going to step up and become these dudes across that front seven. We all know who the big name is at South Carolina across the front seven. We all know that Dylan Stewart is going to be the leader. I am not saying that there are not other guys that are going to add their name to that mix. I'm saying right now we don't know who they are. And I'm not going to go into the season making my predictions on what the defense looks like based on relentless optimism that somebody's going to step up to be the other Dylan Stewart. We know that South Carolina's offense may be required to be explosive this year. They have become an increasingly trendy pick to make the college football playoffs in the gambling world and just in general. But you know where the weaknesses are. Interior offensive line, question about the run game, and the fact that there's just not a lot coming back on defense. And we haven't even touched the fact that the one thing at SEC Media Days that even Shane Beamer said, I'm not excited about, I don't feel great about it, is the fact that they got to replace every special teams specialist. Long snapper, holder, punter, snapper, punter, kicker, place kicker, kickoff, return guy, kicker, offer. You got to replace all those guys. We haven't even touched on that yet. But knowing the strengths, knowing the weaknesses of the teams that they will be placed in charge of this year, my question for you Clemson fans, my question for you South Carolina fans is this. What is the genuine expectation for your quarterback this year? Cade Klubnik at Clemson, Lenora Sellers at South Carolina. The roof for me for Lenora Sellers, the roof for me for Cade Klubnik is win the Heisman Trophy. Be so talented at your position that regardless of where your team finishes, in the playoffs, just outside of the playoffs, like unless South Carolina just has the most disappointing season that they have had in a long time, that is the risk you run with having the expectations elevated the way that they are elevated for South Carolina this year. No matter what, if you do not reach the expectations, it will, I think, be the most disappointing season of South Carolina football since, question mark, you answer that for me. But if you get close to reaching the expectations, I think a lot of that will be because Lenora Sellers is at least invited to the Heisman Trophy celebration in New York City.
By the way, if I recall, Lou Holtz, when the season, didn't win a single game. So
there you go.
So then, I mean, we know where the floor is.
Yeah. And I think that's the takeaway. With the expectations elevated the way they are, and they are. Not, I don't even think it's just by you, the Carolina fans. It's by the folks I have talked to across the media. Even the folks in Atlanta covering other teams. A lot of them were telling me, some of the ones we had on the air, some of the ones that we did not, a lot of them were telling me, I expect South Carolina to be competitive this year. With that comes some level of, if you fail to meet those expectations, you know what the offseason war cry is next year. Never trust in South Carolina again. Same old Gamecock, same old story, same old song and dance, my Frey-yay-end.
Yeah, I mean, you want to get to a point where you don't hear Rob Brown say, I hear they're expected to be competitive. That should not be a moniker on your team.
Do you know why we say that? Or you know why we don't say that about other teams? Because it's true every year. You don't have to say the obvious. Yes, we expect Texas to be competitive, Ohio State to be competitive, Penn State to be competitive. You want to get into that group. The problem is, unlike those groups, if those teams aren't competitive this year, they get hit with a year of, well, that was underwhelming, you underperform, I expect you back. With you guys, it'll be same old story, same old song and dance, and that makes everything more difficult to fight through to next year, get back to where you go. Plus, on top of that, as I mentioned, you got Lenoris for one more year. That kid's going NFL next year. So if that is the case, you better take advantage. With Cade Klubnik and Clemson, I think it is going to be the same thing. If it's not done this year, with expectations of playoffs, ACC title game, ACC championship, national championship, you don't get it done this year. Clemson fans, you're in a hurt too. Because people are going to say, even though the conversation died off in the preseason, doesn't this prove our point that the Dabo way will not work in 2025 college football? And if that conversation picks back up, you may find yourself in a tougher spot than South Carolina trying to get guys to buy in next year. We'll see. So, 844-326-3663, what is your realistic floor and ceiling expectations for your quarterbacks in 2025. I'll give you some of mine in the next hour, audio blitz, and more, all after the five-star sports flash from the great one, Lonzo.
Wow, that was cool. The Atlanta Braves dropped a 3-1 loss to the Milwaukee Brewers last night. Eric Fedee took his 12th loss of the year, going 5.1 innings and surrendering 3 hits and 3 runs without recording a strikeout. The Braves went 3-for-30 from the plate and had only 3 at-bats with runners in scoring position. Atlanta is now a full 20 games below 500. Top 25 coaches poll in college football is out, and for the first time in the history of the poll, Texas Longhorns will start at number 1, just a few points ahead of number 2, Ohio State. Penn State checks in at 3, Georgia and Notre Dame stack up at 4 and 5 ahead of number 6 Clemson, Oregon, Alabama, LSU, and Miami round out the top 10, while South Carolina checked in at 13. Cleveland Browns are adding a 5th quarterback to the roster, signing Tyler Huntley. The QB1 spot is expected to be won by Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, or Shedeur Sanders, but all except Flacco have recently been sidelined due to injuries.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.